from Raleigh, North Carolina. It's The Leftovers with Jay and Jack, a podcast dedicated to HBO's The Leftovers. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello, welcome to The Leftovers with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
And I'm the Hardy Boys.
And welcome to the show. How you doing, Jack?
Didn't say as enthusiastic as I did the first time.
Yeah, I know. Like, what? Like,
because so professional. You ruined it for me.
How could I ruin it?
I don't know. It's the best I can come up with. But did you hear the news out of San Diego?
What's that?
That has something to do with The Leftovers.
Oh, what's that?
You didn't read that today?
I did not.
Just about an hour ago, it was reported that 53 people from San Diego just vanished yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, they were wearing powder blue uniforms, and they went by the name of the Chargers.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't stick around to watch that game. I had 2 weeks of heartbreaks and didn't need to see an utter.
I watched it from start to finish.
Good for you. Good for you.
I started with like four people, and I was down to one myself.
I saw that ice cream though that you put together. I don't know what time that was during the game, but.
It was during. I said, you know what? I'm gonna get some ice cream. And so all the ice cream that was left in the refrigerator, I just put in one big bowl.
For those that don't follow Jack on Instagram, I think are you Crackpot Jack on Instagram? What are you? I don't know. But
what I am.
On his Instagram account, he posts this picture of this bowl of ice cream, and it's a pretty epic bowl of ice cream. If I do say so myself, I mean,
I ate the whole thing. I'm Crackpot Jack. Just Crackpot Jack.
Well, there you go. Yeah, it was definitely pretty epic, I must say.
I can eat a lot of ice cream. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big guy, but I could probably out eat most people in ice. If there's an ice cream challenge, I could probably eat.
You think so? But there probably be some, but like the hot dog challenge people, where they just.
I'm just saying.
It's like a profession to them.
Because people look at me and go, "Yeah, you could eat a lot of ice cream." But I could probably eat the whole thing, the whole gallon, half, whatever is the thing. I could eat the whole thing.
Okay. All right.
In one sit. I wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to challenge. Hey, I heard you say on your stupid podcast you could eat all be under the table with ice cream. Let's go. I'm not going to get a challenge like that. I don't play those games. I'm older. I don't have to justify myself. I'm not like, you
You're
know.
You're Marty McFly at the end of the third movie where
exactly.
You know, getting called chicken. He won't, you know.
Yeah. You don't have to call me Yeller.
Yeah. So
I don't go to this challenge anymore. Uh-huh. You know, 10 years ago, I'd be all in.
Gotcha.
We'd be at 31 flavors, going down.
Can I just say that 4 episodes into The Leftovers, this season is fantastic.
It's amazing.
Because a couple you'd probably get by with 1 or 2 really good episodes, but every episode I think has been fantastic. It's been arguably I think the best show on TV this season. For the fall season.
This week, it would have been between this and The Walking Dead for me. Because I'm a big Walking Dead fan. Do a podcast on Walking Dead. Got to watch Talking Dead because Damon Lindelof is on there.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't watched that yet. But it was a pretty intense episode last night. And we're left kind of like...
What's wrong with Walking Dead, though, is like 1 week it's great. 1 week it's horrible. 1 week it's great. Next week it's horrible.
This season's been pretty good.
Uh-huh.
This season, the 3 episodes, I think...
As good as Leftovers, though?
No.
This show is firing on all cylinders, and it's just good.
I think they've tightened it up. The story, it's not going all over the place. They're kind of focusing on, each episode seems to be focusing on a certain character or just a couple characters.
Yeah.
Because last year it was like, oh, this is going here. And they had parts where you're like going, I really don't care about those people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's hard. It's hard. Like Lost did it pretty well. You have a big cast and most of the characters we cared about, there's most of the storylines we cared about. It just there's certain shows where they go, oh, they just got too many people. You know, there's been a couple shows in the, you know, what's that show with the, I first started complaining about kids? It was like future was bleak and stuff like that. The parents' side I liked, but when they kept going to the kids, I go, I can't stand the kids. Just kill them off.
I remember that show. I forgot about it. I do remember what you're talking about.
But it just ruined. Agreed with that, and that was their that was what they believed, and that they think it killed the show. But there's some shows where the kids are on there, and they're amazing. Yeah, Game of Thrones.
Yep,
the kid actors on there are just amazing. I think sometimes we have adults writing for kids who don't really know what kids, how kids act.
Mm-hmm.
Or don't, or
there's a lot of directing too. Like, I think, like, you look at Steven Spielberg, he's always very good at directing kids. Like, he always got really good performances. So it's probably a lot of the director as well.
The writing, it's because it's everything.
It's a collaborative effort, sure.
But if you're going to have a show with kids on it, and if they're going to be a major part of the show, you have to make them.
But I don't think it has anything to do with The Leftovers, which doesn't really have kids. They are.
No, I'm just saying. But I'm just saying, there's just scenes that are just they. It just seems like every scene or every story we have going on right now, you care about.
Except for the box baby, that was the only the kids they had to work with.
Put the baby in the box.
Nobody puts baby in the box.
You had to put a baby somewhere.
Can I just say, like, that baby is like the easiest baby in the history of babies. Like, I feel like it's misrepresenting what it actually is to have a baby, because it's basically, oh, can you watch the baby? Fine. Yeah, that's great. Oh, I went to bed really easy. Oh, that's fine. Like, the babies aren't like, it's not that easy.
No, because my youngest was that way. When she was a baby, there were times we go, wait, Kayla, because you'd forget Kayla was there, because Kayla, she likes to sleep.
Uh-huh.
She still to this day likes to sleep. If she could get a job sleeping, she would, you know, she could make $1 billion.
Isn't that NASA thing where they're gonna pay somebody like $60,000 to just lay in bed for 8 months or something like that? I feel like that was a thing.
Eight months straight, not getting
maybe
out of
not
bed.
8 months straight, but it was a long period of time. Yeah, there's like $60,000 or $50,000.
That's a lot of money, but I don't think I could do it.
But Kayla, we're not talking about you now. It's Kayla.
Kayla could probably do it, but now Kayla likes to sleep.
I was saying, so she could just sleep in bed.
Yeah, I guess.
But either way, we digress. Fantastic.
Great show, though,
episode.
So far.
And before we get into that, though, all of our podcasts are made possible by people like you, patrons for our show, over at patreon.com/JaneJack. That's patreon.com/JaneJack. We currently have 83 patrons with a grand total of $653.50 a month. That is put towards all the things that go into putting out podcasts, like paying the talent like Dale and paying for the servers. That we've started doing a lot of shows. We actually had to add another media server to host all of the shows that we have right now. But so your guys' patronage is what helps make that possible. So thank you, everybody that does it. We've already had our first milestone goal, which we're going to be doing a Firefly pod, or finishing our Firefly podcast with a Serenity podcast. And we've actually, we're coming up to some of the things for people that pledge a certain amount. So people that pledge $5 a month, they get exclusive access to an exclusive patrons-only Facebook page. But they also, on that Facebook page, get to vote for their patrons-only exclusive podcast. So on that podcast, right now, I think we're still opening the voting till, I think, Wednesday. We're recording Wednesday night for that episode. And the front runner right now is for us to talk about our favorite new shows, which I think I have a new favorite new show, but I'll save that for that podcast.
Favorite new show? I didn't know you were watching a new show.
Well, yeah, I see this is a leading topic, so I'm doing my research. I'm making sure that people that pledge and are patrons at that level, you know, get their money's worth. And at $15 a month, they're doing our first live Google video hangout this Thursday at 9 o'clock. And currently, only 18 people are at that level. We'll get to hang out with us this Thursday at 9 o'clock, so should be pretty
and what else,
cool.
What else would you not want to do but hang out with me?
Exactly. So check that out at patreon.com/JaneJack.
Or is it J and I?
And become a patron. Well, it's the whole J and I, J and we thing. It's just, what would you say if you took away my name? What would you say?
Happy days are here.
No. Like, what would you say in the sentence? What would you say in the sentence?
I'd say Jack.
Would you say I, or would you say we? Would you say me?
Oh, if you're still, I see what you're saying.
So take the, you know, say J and me.
Hey,
take out the J,
Jack and
would
I.
You say?
Jack and me. I think Jack and I sounds better. Sounds a little
better. Sounds better. It's what's grammatically correct.
No, but I'm saying it sounds kind of rude. If I go Jack and me, it kind of sounds like I'm doing a South
Park. Oh, Lordy. All right, let's move on to the Leftovers recap here. I'm not even touching that one. Here we go. Leftovers recap. Leftovers recap. Leftovers recap. All right, it's Leftovers recap time. We had a new episode of The Leftovers, episode 2.4, Orange Sticker.
Yeah, when I first saw the title for that, I was like, an orange sticker. I figured it had something to do with the, you have the yellow bands they have to wear, wristbands.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a sticker on your car or something. I don't know.
Well, Nora wakes up during the earthquake, but Kevin isn't there. She puts baby in a box to fix the broken faucet. I think as long as you put baby in a corner, you're fine.
Wasn't that baby in a box a Saturday Night Live sketch?
I don't know.
Baby in a box.
But she tries to fix a broken faucet. We don't know why it's broken. We run outside.
The house is a mess anyway, but I'm sure the earthquake shaking around probably rattled the pipes.
Possibly. She runs outside and sees John and Michael drive away and calls Kevin, but no answer. She sees Erica. She says, Evie is gone. Nora repeats, gone? Question mark. In a concerned voice. She sees a dog running away with a leash and no owner.
That was that their dog?
No. Remember, the dog's still in
I know,
containment.
But it just seems, again, with, you know, people said I made a big deal about the
You're
dog.
You're harping
thing
on this too much.
But what runs by, she sees a dog.
Because that's
a dog.
So I think
not
that,
a cat.
Hold on.
Not a bird. Not a goldfish. A dog.
But I think the point of that is, so when the people departed last time, they were like walking their dogs and then they just disappeared. So I think this
I get that, but against with the dogs.
Because that's what makes sense. You wouldn't see a cat running around on a leash. People generally don't walk their cats walk their turtles. You walk your dog. That's what makes sense. So Nora passes out because obviously this is probably too much for her. She thinks the departure happened again. She wakes up to a dog barking. She turns on the TV, but it's not connected. She tries to go on the internet, but she doesn't have Wi-Fi. The Wi-Fi that's around her is password protected. That's the worst. So she.
Yeah, don't you hate neighbors like that?
Yeah, which should be all neighbors, but there's those times when you're in the middle of, you know, you're in a new house, you don't know, and you're trying to get some internet. She freaks out and calls 911 and asks, did it happen again? And while she's doing that, Garvey shows up. She hugs him and walks away.
An earthquake? I thought the lady was kind of rude to her. 911 operator.
Well, she doesn't know Nora's background here, man.
Well, you're supposed to help people out, and she's like,
"That's true."
An earthquake, ma'am. An earthquake. No. And then Nora did cuss her out.
She walks away to get Box Baby, and
is that what we're gonna call the baby for now?
That's Lily. I feel like it's bad. I feel Box Baby. Lily doesn't deserve that because of Nora's negligence. She doesn't deserve to be called Box
Baby. Why
didn't
she wake Jill up?
I don't know.
She did kind of. She did go to check see if Jill was there.
Yeah,
Jill's there. Has Box Baby.
Yeah,
but could if she when she's running around, shouldn't somebody have been? Maybe Jill could have held Box Baby, so she wouldn't be Box Baby.
Yeah. Well, let's just for Lily's sake, we'll retire Box Baby. But still,
I'm going to stick with Box Baby because I like that better.
It's easy to remember than a name.
Oh, yeah.
So then Patty's behind Kevin and tells Kevin, you have some explain to do, sport. And then we go to the title music.
Patty's obnoxious.
Right? Well, I think she's trying to be obnoxious and annoying to get him to talk to her.
The actress that plays Patty is also in Masters of Sex, and she plays a completely different character.
Oh, really?
Yeah, nice. It's great acting.
So
he's obnoxious in this show.
We come back from the title sequence, and Kevin is washing away the dirt and mud from the river.
Can I just say something?
What?
I'm watching it. My wife's watching it with me, and she goes, "They have commercials on HBO." When it went to the
title music.
No. They just start the episode. They do scenes from previous episode. Then they do the. They get somewhat into the episode. Then they do it. She goes, oh, okay.
Well, I like the song they choose. It's like, Let the Mystery Be. I think it's a cool, because it's kind of, the song is saying, you know, like, some people say it's this, some people say this is what happens when you die, yada, 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 but I'm just going to let the mystery be. Is that telling the audience that, you know, don't get too crazy about it? Sometimes you just got to let the mystery be.
They said from day one, don't think about the whole departure thing.
Yeah, they're not going to explain that.
We're not going to explain it.
Yep. Which I think they've learned from, you know, the mistakes of Lost, possibly. So Kevin's washing away dirt and mud, and Patty's looking a little awkward.
Patty's a creeper.
So Kevin tells the new Garvey family what happened, and Garvey thinks he should tell the cops, but Nora doesn't think that's a good idea. What do you think's right?
Yeah,
what?
I forgot Kevin was all on. They were all in this honesty thing that we don't lie to each other.
Well, he withheld some information, which Patty calls him out on.
He didn't tell about the cinder block thing, but yeah. He did tell a lot of it. So what's going on with Kevin? Is he just sleepwalking? Is he just?
I think it is sleep, like subliminally, and we'll get to it towards the end where there's kind of the reveal. Well, at least from what Patty says is what happened. If we believe her,
we all know Patty's there.
So we then have the park ranger knock on the door. The town is putting together a search and rescue for the girls.
But Kevin was freaking out though, wasn't he?
A little bit.
What do you want me to do?
So he asks Garvey.
I could do that.
To use his truck to help. He says sure. So Nora and Kevin go to the drained river or lake, and she offers him advice to corroborate his story of losing his phone. And he says that's pretty effing smart.
Well, you know what? I was already thinking about that.
Well, see, Nora's great to have in any situation if you screw up. Like she's ahead.
She was an investigator, right?
Yeah.
So she knows what's lying and what's not lying. She knows when people are telling the truth.
He sees his handprint on the car, dummy.
Well, shouldn't he like actually tripped and kind of like smeared it as he fell? Oh, I'm sorry. I hope I didn't ruin the evidence.
I'm sure they could have like that's probably dry. They could have done some whatever. I mean, they're sending it to Austin to figure it out. So.
You just have to smear a little bit to get it to, you know, where it's inconclusive.
Wouldn't that implicate you though? I mean, unless it's the FBI
if it's Quantico following. FBI or if it's what's his name, Kevin Bacon's character from The Following. Yeah, you wouldn't even have to go that far. Just let him go take the just go ahead and let him do it.
They wouldn't cover it up. They'd like drive it outside and it starts to rain. It goes away. It's like, "Oh god.
I didn't think about putting plastic on it." Oh man.
So cops ask him to scan his band, ask some questions. He doesn't know how to answer. He's kind of freaking out till John backs him up saying he's his neighbor.
Well, at first you're thinking but he just moved in yesterday.
Yeah.
So he didn't buy the house.
Yeah, it's true.
Would remember his address. So yeah, I could. And plus, Kevin's freaking out because he's got that handprint looking at him.
Yeah, not only that, but he was there. So he's definitely got some guilty conscience going on.
Yeah.
We then go to Erica looking into the void. We see Nora going on the search party. She takes a quick.
Hey, did you know Erica wore hearing aids?
Yeah, since the first episode.
Okay, all right.
I think I mentioned it. Maybe. I feel like I did.
Did you mention it? I probably wasn't paying attention to you.
Probably not. Takes a quick prayer with her brother, but walks away once it gets into the spared crap.
Yeah, she gave the Nora look.
So Jill tries to make formula for Lily, but the sink is busted. She asks Michael for help. He fixes
now,
it.
Oh, go ahead. Was it weird that Michael asked her, "Why are you wet?" Because I know, but he looked like he was concerned that she was wet. Like maybe she'd been in that lake. Maybe she'd.
No.
It just seemed odd because to me it's like why are you wet?
Because to me it seems like he has absolute faith of what happened, good or bad, because in that conversation, fixes a sink and asks Jill asks Jill. Why?
He why aren't you looking?
And he says it's because she isn't here. And he goes to Lily and says, "I made your sister uncomfortable." And Jill says, "No, you didn't." She says, "Thanks for saving me." And he says, "Anytime."
Anytime.
So Michael believes that she departed.
Yeah, I believe so.
Back at the water pits.
Well, so he's a twin. Don't twins have that kind of sense about their?
But also, he's with he seems to be running with Virgil, who seems to have some type of psychic ability, and he seems to know what's going on. So
that's true. Was he running with Virgil? Because it doesn't look like Virgil runs anywhere.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, running with the gang or whatever. Virgil's gang.
Running with the devil.
Running with the devil.
Devil.
Back at the water pits, cops talk about how they had a palm print.
Water pit? Now it's a water pit?
Look, there's no more water there, so it's like the pit was filled with water.
Now, was there a giant drain in the middle of that lake?
It looks like it cracked, and then the water probably went in.
It looks
the
like
crack.
There's a metal top to a drain, like a drain thing.
I didn't see that. Did you take a picture of it?
It's like a grate.
We could have put it on the AAC feed, yeah.
I'm putting it on right now.
Oh, perfect.
I'm lying, so don't stop your whatever your recording device is and go back and look for it because I didn't do it. I'm just joking.
So they talk about the Palm Prince, and then it was too big for the girls. Garvey meets the other girls' parents, and then people clamor for what's left of the water.
Yeah, they got to have that water. They don't care about the fish.
Oh, the poor fish.
They're just laying there. People got to have the water. And Erica goes, yeah, let them have it. It's just water.
Kevin didn't find the phone, but Nora thinks he should keep looking. She gets in the car.
She didn't really want to. She didn't really want to. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love you. I love you, too. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, he asks, are we okay? Yeah, we're okay. Little side note, car registration was 518. So you make a number out of there. 516, I think. Some one of those numbers.
Okay.
Nora drives to the liquor store. And our favorite
goat. It was more of a convenience store.
Isn't that a liquor store, convenience store? Is it the same thing?
And why did she not pick? Why did the lady not pick up the display and stuff?
Yeah, it seems maybe she just got. Well, no, yeah, that's right. I don't know. But our favorite goat man walks out.
I saw that. She just kind of looks at the goat.
Nora asks for wild turkey and a pack of Marlboros. Trailer man Virgil says, "Put on my tab." He says he's sorry for your loss. So, again, he's just got those little quips about knowing what's going on.
And Nora goes, excuse me?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
And then the lady that's very unattentive to the mess in her place says, I told you not to talk about it. Go on, get. Get out of here.
Told you not to do that anymore, Virgil. Get out of here. Get. I'm sorry if I upset you.
Kevin is still looking for his phone. Patty offers to tell him what happened, where it is, and what happened to the girls. He still ignores her. She plays the hot and cold game to help him find his phone.
She's good at that. She's good at that game.
She is.
So is Kevin, because Kevin found it pretty much right away.
And then a funny move. She Rickrolls him, and she sings Never Gonna Give You Up. now, I know you're older, Jack, but Rickroll is a thing that happened on the internet like, oh, I don't know, 10 years ago. Do you know about Rickrolling?
Okay.
Do you know about it or no?
I don't know about it. I don't care.
So a Rickroll is like, it's a YouTube video of that song, Never Gonna Give You Up. So what people do is they'll hide a link of that somewhere. Or they say, hey, check this out. And it's that. So it's like a prank calling Rickrolled.
Ah, okay.
So she sings that song and tells him not to get in that car as he's going up out of the dry lake
bed.
And
the car hasn't even showed up yet. Now, is Patty really there, or did he hear the car driving up? And in his mind, he was telling himself, do not get in the car.
Well, that's the question, right? I mean, so we've said that Kevin's dad sees the department. Maybe he just sees people that have died. You know, we don't know. Is this similar to what his dad has experienced?
Right.
And that's the big question.
That is a big question. Do we have the big answer?
Who knows? So John pulls up in his truck, and as Garvey gets out of the dry riverbed, and Garvey at first says, "I don't." He says, "Let me take." John says, "Let me get you take you right back home." Garvey hesitates. Says, "Nah, okay.
I'm gonna go ask the Rangers. They need any more help. No, they're not the force. They don't need help." I'm waiting for Nora.
So he gets in the car, and John and Garvey take a ride. John asks,
but did you notice that John's look as Kevin walked around the truck, it was like he was going to shoot him. I mean, if you watch his look, it's just like he doesn't trust Kevin. He's just giving him a dirty stare as he walked all the way around the truck.
But I would agree until kind of as we go on, it seems like he does trust him.
But it was such a weird, because you got the whole Patty telling Kevin not to get in the truck. Kevin's worried about getting in the truck. And then John's face, it's just like we said about this show. It's just a small little scene, but the acting and the directing is so fantastic. You watch his face and he's just looking at him, because it adds to the tension of the scene.
Sure, yeah.
I'm like going, oh my God, what's he going to do? Don't get in the truck, Kevin. Don't get in the truck.
Well, that's what's great about showing John, you know, burn down Isaac's house in the first episode, right? Because now it's like, okay, it's obvious, you know, John will go to some extreme measures.
Yeah,
you know, what
care.
Is he going to do? Yeah. So he takes a ride with John, asks about the quake, asks for a beer. He leaves Miracle and confronts some of Isaac's friends.
Well, you forgot that he drinks the beer. And Kevin goes, well, I thought you didn't drink. He goes, my daughter's missing.
Yep.
Of course I'm going to drink and drive.
Confronts Isaac's friends, saying the palm print was assigned to John for burning down his house. So they arrive at Isaac's motel.
Well, you forgot Patty said, look, Isn't that convenient? You got someone, you get to, what was the word she used? Well, basically implement someone else without even trying or something like that. Getting someone else. I forgot what exactly he said, but she said, I'm sorry.
So they arrive at Isaac's motel, and John starts to go with a baseball bat, but Garvey defuses the bomb, as Patty eloquently puts. And he goes to talk to Isaac.
Well, you forgot something very important. He's in room. John tells Kevin, because Kevin says, I'm a cop. I can find the truth out in this guy. And he tells him he's in room number 12. So if you add 12 plus 96, you get 108. So there's the numbers.
Where does 96 factor in, or is just...
Well, it's the only way I get to 108. So I figured there had to be a Lost reference in there somewhere. So
he goes to talk to Isaac, and Patty tells him a story about her husband, Neil, cheated on his wife by doing a Cleveland steamer. Look it up.
Yeah, it was like a married man flashback.
So John sent him to the wrong room, and John breaks into Isaac's room, and Isaac shoots him as he tries to break in.
Yes, he does.
Garvey breaks it up. And Isaac, nothing more dangerous than the man who doesn't believe in anything.
But you know, when he says something about his daughter being,
he doesn't know anything. Obviously,
well, I think he does, though. He does.
You think so?
He says she's not here. He doesn't say I don't have her. I don't know where she's at. She says she's not here. I think he knows. I think there's several people that know. Obviously, the whole Patty Kevin thing. If Patty, she knows. I think Erica knows. I think Michael knows. And I think Isaac knows.
Why do you think Erica knows?
I just think Erica knows. I think she knew the whole time.
I mean,
I think John has no clue, because John was away for all those years, and he wasn't there when the departure happened. Right? We found that out today, right?
Yeah, and it's also, I think, just some people who are more in tune to.
I still think when Erica was having that seizure, I think she was in and out of going in and out of departing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Erica knew it. That's why she was saying, stay with me, stay here. Mm-hmm. I think Erica knows. So that's why she's not as freaked out. Upset, she's sad. But John's running around crazy looking for his daughter, because he doesn't know where she's at.
Yeah. Yeah,
anyway, that's just a little small little theory.
So Garvey drives John away, but they can't go to a hospital. John calls Erica, and he says he's been shot. Nora gets home.
Okay, bring him in.
Nora gets home. Jill put Lily to bed very easily, and they share a drink of wild turkey.
You can't be so bitter.
I'm just saying. I feel like this is very convenient. It's like, oh, I'm going to put my kid to bed. It's that easy.
Sometimes your kids give you a hard time about going to bed. It's just it.
That's what I'm saying. But this Lily kid is the easiest kid in the history of children.
Look, change your kid's name from Zach to Box Baby, and he'll go to bed without a problem.
Oh, my God. Box Baby's probably easier to say than Gladfelter, so it's Zachary Box Baby.
Box Baby, Box Baby, give your hand.
So they share a drink of wild turkey because 17 is close enough. And Nora asks,
are you 18? Was that the 21. Legal drinking age in Texas?
No, it was the legal drinking age in 76, but I don't know if it's 21 now. I'm pretty sure everywhere. Nora asks why Kevin sleepwalks. He said, you know, he left the town that was getting all the stress and everything. And Jill very wisely drops a Confucius quote, no matter where you go, there you are. Jill says Michael thinks his sister departed. Nora doesn't think so. She says shares a story about a husband that used it as an excuse to leave. The flood happened. 140 million people were taken on Noah's Ark. Why would it need any more? So I thought it was a really good scene between the two of them.
It was a great scene. And then you keep forgetting that it's only a small percent that went. But when you bring up the number 140 million, well, that's a lot.
Yeah.
You keep forgetting that. Well, that's a lot of people. That's why it's such a big deal, I guess, a miracle. But did it not happen? Who knows? I still think people departed from miracle.
So Garvey drives up to the back door of Erica's urgent care. And Erica starts to work on the womb. She asks Garvey to stay. She knocks him out.
No, she didn't ask him to stay.
What
she basically told him, you will stay. No, you can stay here.
She knocks him out, John out, even though he didn't want to be knocked out, and takes his gift out of his hands. Right. So then we go to Nora, who puts the easiest baby in the world back to sleep.
Well, maybe she's giving us some of the wild turkey.
Is that the secret? Is that what I'm missing?
I'm not saying that's what you should do, but you know, it could be harmful, but you know, lack of sleep can be harmful too.
So Nora asks Jill to watch the baby because, again, why not? Because she needs to go to church.
Once you've had a lot of drinks, the best thing to do is get in a car and drive to church.
We don't know if she's drank a lot, right?
I don't care. She's not a big gal, so just any alcohol is gonna, I would think, would affect her.
You never know. Maybe she has
I've seen TV shows.
So she goes, and Matt's kind of putting out books in the pews, and he's kind of talking to Mary about how,
Mary!
Why don't they let him talk? So she gets there, and she asks Matt if this place is real, because that's why they chose this place. It's because of what he told him. It's just the same as anything else.
Another great scene.
Yeah, and Matt tells a story about how Mary came back for one night while he was there.
Their first night there.
Yeah, and they just talked for hours, and then they woke up like she was before, right. Which that's heartbreaking. And so people maybe don't believe him, and they haven't shown it to us. So do you believe that it actually happened, or is Matt just did he dream it?
I believe it probably did happen.
Really?
Yeah.
He says, you can say whatever you want, but this place is real.
But they wouldn't let it. The townspeople, that must have been when he was going to talk about it when he was giving the sermon.
Yeah. His little speech. It might have been multiple times, but yeah.
The guy said, hey, whoa, hey, yeah. Thank you, Matt. And Matt kind of like, oh, that's right, I can't talk about it. Which is hard to believe Matt, because Matt, that's all Matt does is talk.
It's true.
Matt never shuts up.
Like any good preacher, you have to be able to talk. So Jill gives back Michael's wrench, and then they have the old, are you alone? I'm lonely line that seems to...
Are you lonely?
But he tells the orange sticker story, so we kind of have the explanation of the title of this episode.
Yeah, when they were trying to... I go, okay. That makes sense.
They're trying to verify that, you know, nobody did depart. They put these stickers in each house for the homes that had all of their people.
Got a question. If no one departed, how come there's so many houses for sale?
Probably leaving. I mean, if you're going to get $3 million for some rundown, crappy old home.
But if you're living in a place where no one departed and everyone's trying to get in there, would you take a chance and leave? Would you sell your house for $3 million?
So let me ask you, Mr. Sellout, at any chance possible. Would you...
Well, sell at any chance possible.
Yeah, that's been your motto for most of your life.
Yeah.
Okay. So, say you're in the same situation.
Right? In a second. In a heartbeat.
See, exactly. So, there's going to be people that don't...
There's not a lot of people like me.
You'd be surprised.
I'd sell for $3 million. That house? If I could get $3 million for that pile... But it wasn't... It was... They were just being auctioned. Right?
Yeah, but the person that owns the house still gets the money if it's auctioned.
I guess that's true.
Assuming, anyway.
Okay, unless it gets burned down.
So, Erica fixes up John, talks about how special Evie is. She was born 2 months early, only a pound, 1 ounce. And things are going to change.
Well, they were born, 24 days apart? Or?
Yeah, she's born 2 months early.
Yeah.
So that's, this was a first chance for Erica to really shine through, or at least have a right. scene, and it was fantastic. Regina King.
Yeah, I thought she's an amazing actress.
We then go to Kevin, who leaves, and Patty says she loves her family.
Well, he stepped on the water.
Yeah.
That Michael used to sell,
mm-hmm.
or to ask for donations.
Yeah, ask for donations.
And then he finally goes, F you, Patty.
Well, Patty says she loves her family. You and Nora don't. You just cling to each other because you've lost something. And that's when he kind of loses it, and he finally talks to her. And she tells Garvey that he tried to commit suicide, but because of divine intervention, he's still here. And she also says, I know you didn't ask, but I'm going to tell you anyway. The kids vanished from the car.
Well, I like the scene where he's a good crier.
He is.
I thought it was great acting, but he's like, I don't want to kill myself. And he goes, well, that's your opinion.
Yeah.
she's such a snot.
Erica is right. Things are going to change. And she continues to sing Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley.
Now, did Moses actually see her, or was he just saying?
Who are you talking to? He was talking to somebody, so I think it was more that.
So you don't think he actually saw Patty?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay.
So Garvey gets home. There's a cover of the Grease song, You're the One That I Want, playing, which I thought was kind of... I had to keep playing
that song. I could not... I go, what is this song from? You're the one that I want. But it wasn't like that.
No, it was very slow, ballady.
You're the one I want. Boo, boo, boo. I was like going... It took me like a minute to figure it out, and I go, oh, Grease.
I thought it was a good song to choose because it's kind of Nora saying, hey, you better shape up because I need a man.
Because I need a man. My heart is set on you. Not a one who's vanishing all the time.
Nora says, I know you didn't have anything to do with the girls missing, but I can't wake up alone again. She found his handcuffs and attached them, to which Kevin slyly replies, I hope you found the key.
Kevin was like thinking, okay.
There's a door opening sound. They look up. Jill gets up, and there's this big pan. It's very, like, ominous because the whole time I was like, "Oh my god, what's gonna happen? Oh my god, oh my god!" But it's just Michael scraping off the orange sticker.
Yeah, because you hear the noise, and it's weird.
Yeah, it is. It is. So Michael scrapes the orange sticker off his house, and we close out the episode. Again,
fantastic.
I don't mean to sound fanboyish, but this season is fantastic. It's some of the best TV I've seen in a while.
If you listen to our podcast last season, we didn't gush over it like there was episodes we gushed over, but not like this.
Yeah, it's just everything. The stories are so tight. I love how it even plays into what I think Patty said in the second episode. It makes you wonder if, you know, you're a part of their story or they are a part of yours, where Kevin's just kind of witnessing what's happening with John and Erica, and he's there as a player, but he's not like the forefront, and it goes back to Nora being... It's really good.
Yeah, I didn't know how this was going to work when they were changing everything up like this, but it was almost like, kind of like you kind of think it's a panic move. It didn't do well the first, even though it did pretty well. I mean, it did all right. But if people who gave up on it should come back and rewatch it, even your mom watches it, goes, well, I just watch it because you're watching it. But she's like glued to the TV every time I'm watching it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really good. Well, that's what we thought about this episode. Now it's time to get into what you thought about the episode with some listener feedback. So, here we go.
Listener feedback.
All right, it's listener feedback time. We have a couple phone calls to get into. Do we have any emails or just phone? I think we have two phone calls. Do we have any emails, Action Jackson?
To be honest with you, I haven't even checked the emails today because I've been busy. I went to the movies today. I've been busy working.
Do you even want to do this podcast?
Nope, I don't. So I got to go check those emails.
All right. Well, let's get into our first call here. A pretty regular caller at this point. It is from our good friend Jared in Missouri. Here we go.
Hey, Jay and Jack, this is Jared from Missouri, calling with another couple of theories on tonight's awesome episode of The Leftovers. First off, we think that Virgil is John's dad. Not only that, we also believe he used to be the pastor of the church there. I think that makes sense for why John's kid, Michael, not only is very religious, but on top of it goes to visit that man late at night. All kind of fits together there. The other thing I'd like to say is that I don't believe Patty's story about what happened to Kevin. My evidence for that theory is that as soon as she's done telling him all that story about what happened to him, she immediately starts singing the song. I don't really know what it's really called, but we'll just call it Rickrolled, which in internet speak means to trick somebody into something. So I think that she's lying, and I think the producers are winking at us about her lying about it by using the famous Rickroll. Thank you very much, Jane Jack. Looking forward to the podcast. Bye.
All right, thank you for the calls. The call.
I agree. Number one, that it is was an awesome episode.
Yeah.
But the more I think about Virgil, I think in the beginning I thought it was John's dad, but I'm leaning towards it being Erica's dad now. I think Erica.
Similar in tune with.
I think it's more they have the same thing going on. And but the whole, like you said, the Rick Roll thing, I didn't know about that. So, yeah, you can't trust Patty. But is Patty even there? Is this like a whole Dave thing from Lost? What's going on with Patty? What's going on with Patty?
I think that's kind of open to interpretation. Do you really think Patty? And again, we know Patty isn't there in the sense that she is a physical, you know, live human being. But is it her spirit? Is it just in Garvey's head? That's where we'll probably never get the answer to that question.
You know, most of us were happy when she died last season. Would you agree?
Correct. Yeah.
But now I kind of like Patty.
So do I.
Dead Patty is much more enjoyable than alive Patty.
Well, and I think she adds the context to the story, right? And it's like giving answers without necessarily giving the answer because you don't know if she even exists, and it's just kind of
right.
Garvey's inner dialogue.
Are they just messing with us?
Yeah. So I like it. I think it's a good device, a good plot device.
Yeah, it's excellent. I'm because like when they first heard she was coming back, I go, how is she coming back? What's going on with this show? But it's worked so far. Hey, at four episodes, it's worked.
Yeah. We have another call. Let's get into it right now.
All right.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Minty calling from Chicago. I'm a little bit behind. I'm listening to your the geography podcast as I'm catching up on the episodes. But there's something that I did notice in the first episode and in this episode. The guy called in for this episode and mentioned that when Garvey's dad went to Australia, there was the kid that was trying, or the guy that was trying to send the letter to Australia in the first episode. Also, throughout the rest of the episode, there are news reports of something happening in Australia. Also, back to the first episode, the guy whose house that they burnt down, they told him that he should go to Austin. Before that, when Matt, I think his name is, I never remember character names, was taking over at the church, that previous pastor was going to Austin for a surgery. So there are these recurring cities, recurring places that keep coming up, and I think that plays into the matter of geography theme. So I just kind of wanted to bring that up. Don't know if it's useful at this point because, like I said, I'm a couple episodes behind. So just wanted to let you know. Love you guys. Love your podcast. Thank you so much for doing this. I'm really enjoying it. Thanks.
Thank you, Mickey, for the call. And you can call any time. So you can call if you're a couple episodes behind. Whichever. It's fine.
Yeah. You can call right now.
Literally right now if you wanted to.
You can call 24/7. That's the beauty of the Google Voice.
Yes. So it's 385-390-311. But yes, thank you for your call. There's definitely, it was in Lost too, right? It was these geographic locations that had some sort of significance because Australia was something significant in Lost where was where Rose went to get healed from her cancer, right? And there's because there's pockets.
But I didn't notice the Austin combination though.
I
didn't notice that. It must be an A thing.
Could be an A thing. Could be. And I don't know. I guess I could just look it up because there's such a thing as Google. Great company. Fantastic company.
Now that they're sponsoring this show.
Let's see. If Jordan, Texas is an actual thing or is it a made-up town? Because maybe it's close to Austin, so it's like when they're in Mayberry and they have to actually go somewhere where they need a city, they go, I want to go into Raleigh. So maybe
of course,
it's like
because, and again, they all get dressed up to go to Raleigh, and I've been in Raleigh for 13 years and haven't seen it yet.
What's that, Mayberry or?
No, I haven't seen people come to the town dressed in suit and tie.
Ah, yes. Well, if you're going to the state capital.
Remember, it was a big deal to go from Mayberry to Raleigh.
So I don't think there is a real Jardin, because when I Google it, it's a restaurant in Texas.
I'm not even sure if there's a real Raleigh.
There's definitely a real Raleigh. That's a thing. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
All right. I'll take your word.
But yeah, so no, I think it's a great call, great call out. And even in episodes beyond that, we had Lori's episode, Lori and Tommy's episode last week. There was the news thing about Dave Burton, who is the guy that the letter was addressed to, and he claimed he died and he came back from the dead, coming out of this cave in Australia. So Australia's been mentioned multiple times. Is this just a thread in the background of the series so far, or will it come to the forefront? We don't know yet.
I don't. It's just something to drive us crazy.
It could be. It could very well be. we'll put that warning label on it right now for the people at home. But I think it's a great call out. So thank you, Mickey, for calling that in. So yeah, thank you for your feedback, guys. Again, anybody can give feedback for the show. Listener feedback. It's what drives our conversations. So you can do that by either sending an email to lostpodcast@gmail.com or giving us a call at 385-309-0311. Call anytime.
And I wonder how many people have left feedback on 206.
We won't know because it's gone forever.
Because we can't get it back. They never responded back?
No. The man keeping us down.
Maybe they vanished and we'll have to wait 30 days for them not to use it and it'll be open again.
So a conversation I've seen happening on our Facebook group is, did the water disappear because of Kevin and not because of the girls? Is it because he couldn't be killed or he can't be killed? Because if the girls, to Patty's claims, the girls disappeared in the car, so they weren't even in the water.
Yeah, Patty. Patty.
So if you believe Patty. But do you think the water, because Patty said divine intervention.
I saw like a metal, like a sewage drain thing on there. Maybe the water just, someone said pull the plug. More of a lost term.
So what's your thoughts? Is it just the earthquake and it's random happenstance, or is it for
a
reason?
The earthquake happened and something happened with the drain and the water drained out.
Okay, so we're talking about like what physically happened, but do you think that happened because Garvey tried to kill himself and Garvey can't die?
Remember the first episode they were talking about fracking, and it was caused by fracking. Maybe the water came out of that pond so fast that caused
No, I get that, but so you're saying it's random happenstance and has nothing to do with Kevin trying to kill himself?
No, it had nothing to do with Kevin trying to kill himself. Okay. Unless he plunged at the bottom and then kind of woke up and then pulled a plug. I don't know. Something happened. Well, how did he end up in the water?
Because she said he tied cinder block to his ankle and he jumped, dived in.
I get that, but then...
Tried to kill himself.
Did he do that? Was he in the water before the earthquake? I think the earthquake, either the water triggered the earthquake, the water draining triggered the earthquake, or the earthquake triggered the water draining.
But you think it has nothing to do with Kevin? Say if it didn't happen, he would have been dead. It's not because Kevin has some...
Kevin has something he
needs to do beyond his world that he cannot die yet. You don't think that?
I don't think that, no. I just think it wasn't his time.
Well, I'm gonna say it on this show right now. I think Kevin cannot die because there's something he still has to do, whatever it is, and that's why he can't die yet. Destiny.
Well, I think he can't die because he's the star of the show.
It's never been easy.
Look what happened to that guy.
He became the hero of the show.
No, he died. He became the guy who was used, the pawn.
Yeah. Anyway, but still, his death is what got them all to come back to the island. So he's kind of the most important character, just saying.
Yeah, that was him.
Hashtag.
Without them coming back to the island, Man in Black could have never left the island. So if they don't come back, there's no reason to come back because Man in Black can't leave the island. If nobody comes back, nobody can leave the island, right?
Well, there are always people that come back. It's just the nature of
the
island.
And if Jacob doesn't bring anybody to the island, the worst guy in the world can't leave the island. So, yeah, J- Jacob's fault.
All right. So again, thank you for your guys' feedback. And I think now is the momentous occasion in which we will allow you an open microphone and talk about whatever stupid theory you want to put out there.
Is that what we're calling it now? The crackpot theory? The stupid theory of the week.
With Jack's crackpot theory of the week. Let me get the drums set ready here.
No, actually, hold on a second. What? I like the stupid theory of the week. I think after 10 years, we just need to change it.
Just call it what it is. No, that is your moniker here. It's Jack's crackpot theory of the week.
It's actually what I live for. Without my stupid theory of the week, I'd be like, ugh. Like Homeland. I was watching Homeland yesterday and called both little twists there.
So my wife goes, "How did you?" anymore.
She goes, "How did you know?" I go, "It had to be."
All right, let me get the drum roll going here. All right, what do you got for us?
All right, we see Mary there, and she's played by, again, for me, a very popular actress. She was on The West Wing, and she always spoke. And here she's playing a part where she just stares off into space. Now, yep. Allegedly, Matt said she awoke, and they talked, and they fell asleep in each other's arms, and we're all like, oh. The next day, she woke up, and she was not, you know, she is back in the same place she was at. So I think eventually she's an actress most of us know.
Mm-hmm.
She will wake again.
Okay.
And she will, I think she's in the middle of departing and not departing.
Okay.
Would you agree with that?
I think we know she got in a car wreck and then she was just in a catatonic state after the car wreck.
I get that, but maybe she was supposed to depart. We don't know. I don't have all the answers because this show.
I'm not leaning towards that one, but I do kind of agree with you that I think she's going to talk or she's going to come back.
I think she will speak again, and before she can give the answers, she will either vanish or die.
Okay.
And that's my, because she just can't be sitting there. I could have played this part. I'm not saying she's not doing a great job, but it's just like almost like, you know, Lori, the actress playing Lori, was a, you know, major, she was in Practice and Judging Amy, and she's going to go the whole season without speaking. And now at least she's back speaking. It just seems to me that they could have got someone else to play this part if that's all she's going to do. So I'm calling it now. She's going to come back. She's going to wake.
All right.
But she will depart. Or maybe she wakes and she's part of the show again. I don't know.
Wakey, wakey, and maybe eggs and bakey.
Maybe she wakes up. Again, maybe I'm changing my stupid theory here. She wakes up, and Nora believes the place is a miracle, and maybe Nora can calm down. Because Nora, let's face it, Nora doesn't, ever since she found that those MIT guys wanted to buy her house because they said they're trying to see if it could happen again, she never thought about it happening again. And the whole episode to me was like, you know, Nora freaking out that it could happen again. That's how it starts out. You have the people in the camp. The reason they want to get in there is because they're afraid it's going to happen again. They don't want to depart. They don't want their family members to depart. So maybe she does come back, and that convinces Nora that life will be okay for now. Either way, she's going to come back and speak.
All right.
And that's my stupid crackpot theory, and I'm sticking to it.
All right.
Don't ask me to re-explain because I don't even know what I said, but that's what I said.
And it's recorded now forever.
Well, that's fine, but don't ask me to repeat what I said because I changed it like three times.
All right, guys, that is what we'll wrap up Leftovers with Jay and Jack. But before we wrap up any show, we'd like to thank our special patrons that contribute at a significant amount. We appreciate your contributions. Attack from Tokyo, Eckhart Richter, and Chris O'Brien, thank you very much. Thank you to all of our patrons.
We've adopted Eckhart.
You can see our full list of patrons over at jayandjack.com, our newly minted fresh refresh site, which is very easy to navigate, which is awesome. But, you know, for me, the Lost website is just something that's near and dear to my heart, our old website. You can still check that out. We saved it. You can check that out at jayandjack.com/lost. We have a lot of podcasts we're recording this week. Tomorrow, we'll be doing a new Lost podcast with Jay and Jack, and we will have the one, the only, Rob Cesternino from his prolific series of podcasts that he puts out.
Spoiler alert, I gave kind of a hit on the Amazing Race, but I didn't say who it was going
to
be.
Well, I mean, it's, now you know, I guess. It's something to get excited about. So that is going to be on our...
I was excited before I knew.
So we're very excited to have Rob on. He's been on our charity podcast before. We've hung out with him before. A great guy. So excited to have him on. Plus, his Mets are in the World Series, so he will be doing our show and then going straight to the World Series.
Is he going to the game?
I think he's watching the game. I don't think he's going to the game.
And his wife's gay now, right?
I think so, yeah. I think November. I think due November.
November, okay.
We will also be doing a married man show tomorrow with Dale. He is kind enough to grace us with his presence. At 10 o'clock, there will be a sports talk.
I'm guessing that is.
Sports talk with three stupid guys will be on. That is broadcast live over on Google Hangouts. The links will be posted on our Twitter feed, so if you follow us at Jay and Jack, you can click the link there, or at our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/JayandJackGroup. 11 will be Walking Dead with three stupid guys, and then Wednesday we'll be doing a Survivor right after Survivor airs. Then we will be recording our Jay and Jack patrons exclusive podcast. It'll be voted on by our patrons that contribute at least $5 a month. So very excited about that, our first one we're doing there. And then Thursday, for our patrons that give $15 or more a month, we'll be doing our exclusive patrons hangout show. So it will be great. And if you are a patron, we did send out emails to all of our patrons. And our last chance to vote for the Facebook in our exclusive patrons-only Facebook group will be up until that afternoon on Wednesday. So right now in the lead by, I think, a few votes is for us to talk about the new TV shows on right now, ones we like, what we don't like, which will be the topic of that show. So a lot of stuff going on this week in the world of Jay and Jack podcasting. I think you have a full shift of work tomorrow, Jack. You have like 87 podcasts you're recording tomorrow.
I'm starting at 6:30 and probably won't be done till, well, because since The Walking Dead was such a great episode, usually we can get it done like in a half hour. Probably going to, well, Russ might be here, so it could go on for like an hour. So I probably won't be finished till like midnight tomorrow.
Stacking it up. Yeah. So great stuff all
I'm a
around.
Podcast machine.
But on that note, we're very excited to see where Leftovers goes next week. We'll see all of our Leftovers listeners next week. And you can check out all those other shows. They have their own feeds on iTunes if you like certain shows, maybe not the others. But say you like all of the shows that we do, you can subscribe over at The Whole Enchilada. That is all of the shows that we put out, and it's a lot of shows. So you can subscribe to everything there. Or if there's a couple shows you like and maybe some you don't, you can subscribe to those individually as well. We also appreciate any reviews you can put out there because that's what helps us get traction. So we appreciate all the positive reviews.
Well, hold on. Any good reviews?
Good reviews. If you hate us, let us know. We'll talk about it. We'll make it. We'll if we have to fire myself, I will fire myself. I'll do it.
You know, if you give us a bad review, it could become part of a podcast.
I don't want to say that because I don't want to encourage people to give bad reviews so they can be on the podcast.
That's true. I apologize. I said that, but
it's like giving the crazy people that do crazy stuff, giving them on the news, just encouraging more crazy.
But if
people.
If you have something we're not doing, you don't like what we're doing, you think we're doing something wrong, you send us an email. We'll respond to it.
Absolutely. Because feedback, positive or negative, I'm a big believer in. So if there's something that you don't like about what we're doing, absolutely send us an email. You can do that at lostpodcast@gmail.com. Facebook message us, tweet us, whatever. Absolutely. I take it very seriously. We all take it very seriously.
Agree with you. Sometimes we agree with you. Sometimes we're like, sorry.
Yeah. Again, there's some things where we are what we are. We've done this for 10 years, and I think people listen to us know what we do and what we bring.
We're going to mispronounce stuff.
Yeah. We're not perfect. We're not perfect. All right. That is it for this week's Leftovers with Jay and Jack. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.